So how do we ever stop telling the Lord that we love him? How could we stop telling him that we love him? Yeah, we could, yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess that's probably the case. If we stop saying it, we stop feeling it. And then we better start saying it again. Because how we talk makes a difference. Amen. Absolutely. God's made examples, set examples. Remember, we can only release the benefit of God's rule flowing through us to the degree that his rule is over us. You're only going to release through you by the rule that he has over you. Out of the depths of our heart flow the issues of life. What's in our heart comes out our mouth. That's what the Bible says. So if "I love you, Lord" comes out your mouth, then it's in your heart. I remember when a friend of mine was giving his heart to the Lord, and man, the battle was just to say, "Jesus, come into my heart, and I love you." Because the devil knows that there is a war that goes on. And so whenever we are being resisted, the Bible says, submit yourself to God, then resist the devil, and the devil's going to flee. In other words, he's going to get out of the way. You get out of my way. So you can only release the amount that he has control of. And we have the choice to give him the control of all things. We speak ourselves up or we speak ourselves down. How we talk. James said that the tongue is an unruly member. It's a flaming fire. But he says that there is a way. He says we can't control it, but respect for God. Remember we talked about respect for God? Respect for God will cause us to take control, to take charge of it. And that's what we need to do. We need to take charge of what we say, because how we talk makes a difference. If only people would understand your faithfulness, God, and your great desire to prove it, it would seem everyone would clamor to get to you. And I ended that note with, "Lord, how can I help? How can I help people clamor to get to you?" We need to make thy kingdom come, thy will be done our focus. If we do that, then God's will and God's way takes precedent in our lives. Simple things like finally saying, "I love you, God." You know, we can think it, we can mean it, we can, "You know how I feel," but like Vicky said, there came a place and that point was so important to God that he remembered it and reminded her of it. Do not tell me that you're just not that way. Do not tell me that, "Well, you're just not one who praises or speaks. God knows your heart." Don't tell me that. If you're going to tell me that, then don't tell me you're having problems, because you're having problems because you won't say the things that God wants you to say. We have to make those things clear. What's important? If David said, I will praise the Lord, and if the Bible says praise the Lord, I say praise the Lord, because how we talk makes a difference. Right? The amount of feeling when we talk makes a difference. How we talk. That's what the Lord says. It's not what I say, but I agree with God. It's important that we agree with God. Do you agree with God? I mean, do we agree with God? You can resist me. You can just flat not even like me. That really won't be too big. Well, it might be, because I think God likes me. But it's what God says that makes a difference. And when you quit doing what God says, when we back away from what God says, we can just watch things slide away. We talk ourselves up or we talk ourselves down. We talk ourselves into trouble or we talk ourselves out of trouble. And when people say, well, God knows my heart, that's a place to start trembling. Yes, He does. But we can talk ourselves out of the issue of our heart. In other words, we can speak the truth and override what we might be feeling or what we might be thinking. We can speak the truth until what we think or feel lines up with what we say, because the Word of God is powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces the heart, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit. You can overcome it. Or you can be overcome by it. James says, my brothers and sisters, not many of you should be teachers. I say this because, as you know, we who teach will be more strictly judged more strictly than others. That was the only place in my life I read that verse. I took that verse to the Lord when the Lord wanted me to preach. I used that verse to simply say, Lord, are you sure? Because I just got out of the frying pan. I don't want to get into the fire. This says that I'll be more harshly judged. Can't I do something different? He said, my grace is sufficient for you. And that was the end of my questioning whether he knew what he was doing. That was not the last time I did anything wrong, but that was the only time that I ever questioned what he was thinking. Because I didn't know any better. But after that, I didn't care. I didn't need to know. Now I know that there are things that I know that I don't understand. There are things that I know that God has me to teach about before I understand them. And I get understanding as I'm teaching about them. But I know them before I start. And there are things that you know before you start. I guarantee you that you knew it was wrong before you started going backwards at some point in time. I guarantee you that the Holy Spirit checked you and tried to get you to head in the right direction. But if you resisted and resisted and resisted the Holy Spirit, then the Lord let you go and caught you at a different spot downstream. And if we're smart, we don't go too far downstream. You know, people who get caught in a current, there's one place they're trying to get when they're caught in it, to the shore. Back to the place where it's safe. And yet the enemy will talk us into not going into the safe places. Something will disturb us again and we'll just go the other way, and then we'll begin to speak. And what we say, well, maybe there's a better place downstream. And all the time, we don't want to go continue downstream. There's a fall there. There's rushing water. There's whatever the case might be. So he says, we all make mistakes. Now we can say amen to that, right? A person who never said anything wrong would be perfect. Someone like that would be able to control their whole body too. We put bits in horses' mouths to make them obey us. With these bits, we can control their whole body. It's the same with ships. How many of you know that you can put a bit in a horse's mouth and a horse that is really stubborn can fight the bit? Some horses will fight the bit till they tear their cheeks. Or they learn how to chomp down on it and smile at it. Man alive, do not get, so don't chomp on the bit. That was sort of what Jesus said to Saul. Why do you chomp on the bit? Who are you, Lord? I'm the one pulling on the reins. Recognize when you're chomping on the bit. Do you recognize when you chomp on the bit? Lord, just like you reminded Vicki the first time she said, I love you, remind us when we chomp on the bit. Think about it. You chomped on the bit? I chomp on the bit sometimes. Might be why I'm missing a couple of teeth. It's the same with a ship. The ships are very big and it's pushed by a strong wind, but a very small rudder controls that ship, and the one who controls the rudder decides where the ship will go, and it goes where he wants it to go. In the same way, our tongue is like a small part of the body, but it can boast about doing great things. It was a little rudder that steered the Titanic into an iceberg. Even with messages coming saying, watch out, slow down, be careful, nothing can stop the Titanic. You ever been like the Titanic? I'll be fine. A little crash, you know. Even after the little crash, they didn't think it was going to go down. Just a little crash. There aren't any little crashes. Because we never know what that little crash is going to cost us. We never know what that little chomping on the bit, what that little forging straight ahead when the Spirit is saying, think about it. Think about it. Big forest fires can be started with only a little flame. The tongue is like a fire. It's a world of evil among parts of a body. It spreads its evil through the whole body and starts a fire that influences all of life. It gets this fire from hell. That's that tongue that's not controlled by the Word of God. Humans have control over every kind of wild animal, bird, reptile, fish, and they have controlled all these things, but no one can control the tongue. It's wild, evil, full of deadly poison. We use our tongues to praise the Lord and Father, but when we curse people who are created in God's likeness, these praises and curses come from the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, this should not happen. Do good water and bad water flow from the same spring? Of course not. My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree make olives? Or can a grapevine make figs? No. A well full of salty water cannot give good water. Are there any among you who are really wise and understanding? Then you should show your wisdom by living right. Pretty simple and straightforward. Now, we can get down pat, you know, we can understand, we want to speak the right things, we want to speak blessings over our lives, we want to speak health and all this and that and the other thing, and we can sort of get that down pat and all of that kind of stuff, and then our tongue can take off talking about people made in God's image. Well, man, let's not try to get everything down pat all at once. Well, it's just as best if we do get it all down pat all at once, isn't it? No. People say, well, I'm doing it in baby steps. Well, grow up. I mean, if a 2-year-old goes from thing to thing, walking like that, that's fine. But if a 20-year-old is doing that, they say, hey, you can walk, you'll be fine. Right? You see, We have to be cautious that we don't become so adept, so strong, so well-versed in making excuses. We need to recognize that we don't like excuses. We need to recognize when we are making excuses and say, whoops, excuse my excuse. There is no excuse. I know when something comes out of my mouth that there is no excuse for. Then I have to make a decision. Do I excuse myself? I mean, make an excuse. Or do I correct it? How much I want God in me to flow through me is controlled by how much He has control over me and my tongue. Controlling your thoughts so they don't get out your mouth. Not excusing them. It's a good thing to do. It's a good thing to do. I hope that every child has said some blessing to their mother today. And not a cursing. At least, I mean, it's the right thing to do today and every day. But this is a good day to practice, and it's a good day to establish that as that. LeVon's got a whole bunch of little kids that she was with all year in the school year, and if she's somewhere where they are, they will see her. Hey! And if she sees them and they go like that, then that wouldn't make her feel good. And Cowboy Bob would say, want me to rope them or fix them for you? Well, sometimes we need the Lord to ride and rope and brand us. But if we submit ourselves totally unto God and resist the devil will flee from us. When we look at these things, there just come times where the word comes and we've got to make a decision. This is a good time. Now maybe you guys are way ahead of me. I don't make a point of letting my tongue run wild. But I'm going to tell you something. This thing about respecting God, added in a perfect time for God to just put a beacon on this. Do you know? I tell you about my failures, so I'm going to tell you about my successes too, okay? Do you know that today, seriously, with a good heart and with right feelings, I prayed for our president. It was such an amazing thing. It didn't even taste right. But it was God. I had ulterior motives. But you know what? With or without Him, God can bless our nation. But for me, if I'm going to do the Word, I've got to do it all the way. And it's the same thing for you. Now you can miss blessings and go to heaven. You can pick and choose and go to heaven. I really think that. I really do. I mean, I think that heaven is in the name of Jesus because that's what the Bible says. But I don't think you can hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, without packaging the whole deal. And I know that you will not enjoy all that God has for you in life without the whole deal. And I know that if you think that life is pretty good just the way that it is, and it's far that you've gone far enough, that you're in serious trouble. Because at any point where you begin to relax on the things of God, you begin to drift. And you don't want to do that. Some of you, some of us, we know by experience that drifting is costly. But the grace of God and the mercy of God is so wonderful when we come back to it, and God doesn't hold it over our heads and all of that, but He says, now let's go on. Let's move on. Let's keep going. Let's keep pressing. And I'm telling you that you speak yourself up or you speak yourself down, and it's not a selective type of a thing. It's everything. And James said, no person can control their tongue, but with the Holy Spirit, with yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit, with submitting ourselves totally unto God, we can hear and we can control. It will require biting your tongue. You may even bleed if you want it bad enough. But it's worth it. It's worth it. And to take those things that we learn and then put them forth, to take something where somebody gets up and says, God reminded me of the first time I told Him I loved Him. From within us then should come that thing, well, wow, if it's important enough for God to talk to her about that, I love you, God. Because when you've got the springs of I love you, God, coming out of your mouth, you're not going to have much sewage flowing at the same time. Praises and curses come from the same mouth. This should not happen. Should not happen. Should not happen. And we could go on and say, this could not and would not happen if we followed what God says we should follow. If we follow what God says. God's ways are not cumbersome. They're easy. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. What He expects is nothing but our love. Out of our love, the issues of our heart then become a whole different thing. Our desires become a whole different thing. God, help me help my desires. Help me to comply and to agree with what You say. He said He's given us everything we need to do it. Everything. And so the things that you know, to him who knows what is right and does it not, it's sin. There are things that you know that you don't have to understand at all. You just know it. We could say, I don't know how I'm going to be able to control my tongue. No, you say, I know how I can. And I will. And if you are willing, I will guarantee you that you will hear a voice continuously reminding you, checking you, encouraging you. How many of you, since we had the message about worthless thoughts, have been thinking and had the Holy Spirit say worthless thoughts? If you allow the Word to dwell in you richly, it will repeat itself. It will come back. If you allow it to do what God intends for it to do, the Lord will use those very things. Or how many, since we talked about respecting God, have come across things that you go, ah, that's not respecting God. I've heard that so many times that I've sort of thought that I would have skipped that scripture. Not because I really want to, but because, it's flagrant. The ways that we can disrespect God that we never realized we were disrespecting God. We were just living our life because everybody's got to live. You know, I mean, that's just the way that things are. Let me tell you this. If we're sitting here and we are singing, I love you, Lord, and you don't at least want to say, I love you, Lord, or at least sing it once or twice, I'm worried about you. Because if you can't get caught up in people saying, I love you, Lord, do a heart check. I would that everyone would love God's name. You know, when I hear God's name, love comes out of my heart. And when somebody isn't loving God's name, when they say God's name, I'm going, Because they're wasting something wonderful. And I was thinking about this morning, and I was thinking, oh God, if people just knew you, every time they said, oh my God, they would almost swoon. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God, my God, my God. That's what I want to do whenever I, oh my God, oh my gee, you know. I just want to go, oh my God. Yeah. Oh, if you, oh my God. Oh, hallelujah. I just found the way I'm going to respond to that. Yes, sirree. I hope somebody on stage today, when I'm ready to give out the diploma, the scholarships, I hope I hear somebody whisper, oh my God. All of a sudden, the auditorium, oh my God! I bet they will still let me give out the scholarships. I don't know whether to say to the Lord, have somebody do it, or tell him, be careful, nobody does. But you know, that's how we should feel. Oh, yes, my God, yes. You have any idea how good that feels? Get into it. Lord, let it come on everybody so that everywhere we go, everywhere we go, somebody says, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh my God. Huh? Don't anybody try to resist that. Let it in. How do you think God would feel about it? Do you think the heavens would just be rent? And things would just come falling out in your favor? You better believe it. Just think. People need to know how good God is. And so you can speak yourself up or speak yourself down. You can bring up a situation, you can bring up the atmosphere, or you can just let it slide. You can shed light, or you can let the darkness prevail. But if you want the life, and you want to pour out the life, and in your heart, there is that place created in the image of God that wants the light of the Lord to have charge. Every person, people before they know God, know when they've said what's wrong. They know. And so then we who know God know even better, right? Now, people can become very proficient at just ignoring the right thing and the wrong thing. Not doing the right thing if they really prefer not to do the right thing. Going ahead and doing the wrong thing if they prefer to do the wrong thing. But this should not be the case with us. We should not be able to excuse ourselves or dismiss ourselves from the responsibility that we have. We should not create deaf ears to our own words. But rather, we should determine, Lord, give me ears to hear and a heart to understand. David said, restore to me the joy of my salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Cast me not away from your presence, O God. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Oh my God, you're good. Lord, you're so good. You are so good. You are so good, Lord. You are so good. Father, please help us. We can choose what is right. We can become rivers of living water. We can overcome and not be overcome. You said we'd be the head and not the tail. The overcomers and not those that are overcome. And so we receive that and we thank you for that, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that this would be a graduation day for all of us. When we graduate into that next spot, that next place, that place that would rather die than go ahead and speak what disrespects you, what robs us and robs others of the very presence of God. In Jesus' name we pray this, Lord. Amen.